Hey, you want that to go?
Our first news story is a big sports story. Good morning. I'm live at the radio station KUVO here in Denver, but all eyes around the nation were watching the game last night. 5 days into April, March Madness comes to an end. Last night, Duke defeated Butler in the NCAA tournament 61-59. But even in defeat, Butler proved me wrong. Remember, Celeste, I said that if Butler's in the final, it'll be a boring game?
You did say that, and you were wrong.
Not so. Listen to this.
It's Hayward pulling it down, getting around Zubac at midcourt, launches the shot. Almost went in, and Duke is the king of the dance.
John, if you were here in New York, you'd be seeing poor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, just depressed.
Well, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen called for Butler and almost made it in. Is probably a big enough trophy for Butler at this point. What did you think of the game last night, Ibrahim?
It lived up to the hype of being a premier college basketball game. One of the things that was interesting is Duke and Butler had the highest graduation rates of any teams in the tournament.
That's
so
great news.
It was not only the best basketball teams, but it was the best academic basketball teams in the country.
Well, that is amazing. And, you know, we talked earlier this morning about the huge interest in Butler and its Bulldog mascot and all of its sort of T-shirts and everything. What does this mean for Duke? This is their fourth national championship.
Well, obviously, Coach K is probably going down as the best coach in college basketball in history, besides John Wooden, of course, from UCLA. And the other thing about it is that if you think about history, Butler is sort of a Duke light. It's Duke maybe 30 years ago, and this could be the beginning of something special at Butler, similar to what happened with Coach K and Duke.
Does the fourth victory by Coach K possibly remove this sort of angst and hatred against Duke as being this perennial favorite? I mean, when does he cross into the kind of UCLA zone where John Wooden, ceased to be the spoiler of all tournaments and became this just magical sort of phenomenon to watch?
I think you have to have more likable players, to be honest. I think there's something different about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Walton that typify that era with UCLA. And the Duke teams, although they're excellent teams, they're well-coached, they're very disciplined. These guys that played last night, they played with poise, they played with confidence, and they were patient. They played an excellent, scrappy, almost thuggish basketball game at some points of it. But they're a good, solid basketball team, but they're not very likable. And that's the problem with the Duke franchise.
Speaking of not likable, is it about golf at the Masters? Tiger Woods faced the press yesterday. Is it about golf, or is it just about Tiger Woods' demeanor in facing the people who are asking him about his home life and his family life yesterday? And I guess his wife, Erin, is not going to be in the gallery cheering for him during the Masters.
Well, there's two things around that. Tiger first has to learn how to be just a humble, honest, less scripted, more personable. And I think he took a step towards that yesterday. And so I think we're going to see a new Tiger Woods, and hopefully that will bleed into the game. And what we want to see is the old Tiger Woods. We want to see the Tiger Woods when he was a fresh-faced kid that won against all odds and came back fashion. That's everyone is less interested in that piece of it, and they want to see him perform now.
And if he wins, maybe Elon will be there with the trophy for the final photo op that I guess he hopes puts this to rest. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks so much.
Good morning.
Our next takeout comes from our Washington correspondent who is still up here in New York, Todd Zwillick. I guess we could chalk this up to kind of good news, bad news, because if you're a congressperson, you're on recess.
Right.
Good news, right?
Vacation.
Time off.
Sure.
Right. Bad news for who?
Bad news for a lot of people who are unemployed. This is often how it goes when Congress bickers, Celeste, unfortunately. Right before Congress left for the Easter Passover recess, there was an extension on the Senate floor, an extension for unemployment benefits and COBRA health subsidies. Now, this is for people who've lost their jobs, and there are millions of people out there. These programs that fund UI, unemployment insurance, and COBRA health benefits, they run out every month or so, and Congress keeps renewing them, and they'll renew them until the recession starts to rise a little bit and they feel like they don't have to do it anymore. Well, some of those benefits are expiring this week as of yesterday, and Congress did not pass the one-week extension of unemployment insurance and COBRA benefits. That means as of yesterday, up to 200,000 people will start to lose their benefits, meaning they won't get their checks until Congress gets on the stick and renews these benefits.
It doesn't seem to me like there would be a political benefit to going on in the headlines as the person who kept people from getting unemployment.
Well, it's not, there isn't, but it's not really about being the person who prevents people from getting their benefits. It's really about political bickering and one-upsmanship. It's no surprise that the atmosphere in Congress has been extremely frosty this whole year. It's very, very frosty, downright cold, now that health care passed in a way that really divided the parties and everybody's upset about it. So what happened right before they left was that Democrats had a bill on the floor to extend unemployment insurance benefits by a week. Often these things pass routinely, and it was worth $9 billion. The problem is that it wasn't paid for. It wasn't paid for with cuts anywhere else or a tax increase or something like that. So Republican Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, who is a spending and deficit hawk, he blocked it. He wouldn't let it go through without a filibuster and all the procedural machinations that you have to do, said he wanted it paid for. Well, the Democrats refused to do that. They thought unemployment benefits don't have to be paid for. Let's just do it. People are suffering. Republicans offered a way to pay for it, but Democrats didn't like that offer. They didn't like the way Republicans wanted to pay for it. So that is gridlock. So while all of the bickering goes on the Senate floor, about 200,000 people who might have gotten a check today or tomorrow or the next day won't be getting them. Now, when Congress does come back next week and get back on this, ostensibly they will get this done at some point. That should be retroactive, but that doesn't help anybody this week.
No, and then, you know, it doesn't help them pay bills or buy food or pay rent. You know, after the Sago mine disaster in 2006, Congress did pass new inspection regulations and other things.
They did.
Yeah, and so tomorrow, Todd, you're going to have details for us on what those were and how they worked out in light of what's happened in West Virginia.
There were some sweeping regulations. Maybe it wasn't enough given what's happened over the night, but they did pass some sweeping mine regulations. We can talk about them tomorrow.
Maybe we'll see some more coming out of this. Our Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.